Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Have you ever given someone advice and they blow it off only to come back to you later and say, oh man, I wish I would have listened to you. And then your entire being wants to just shout out at them, I told you. Well, I'm sure you have. And as you know, it's totally useless to remind someone that you are right. But how do we get others to recognize the wisdom all around them in an effort to grow forward? This entire episode is an opportunity for you to reflect, but also to introduce a process of growth and reflection for those around you that you serve and love. It is based upon an odd habit I have and the opportunity for us to have those around us intentionally reflect upon their journey. Too often, we get hung up on the emotional barricades that are in front of us. And as a result, we'll miss the chance to look at what just happened and plan and fall forward. So here's the weird habit. I've been incredibly blessed with some life experiences that are very unique and opportunities. But I've also had experiences I never imagined. I've traveled. I've been to a meeting at the White House. I've spoke in front of thousands of people, testified in the legislature, climbed mountains, stood in the Sistine Chapel, been kissed by Miss USA 1989 in 1989, and a whole host of other life experiences that are future podcast topics. Now, I'm not telling you this so you think I'm really special, because I know I'm not. I'm telling you this because of a habit I have. You see, every time I find myself in one of these unique life situations, I say to myself, when you were in fourth grade, could you have ever believed this would be you? It's my humbling question, and it's how I keep myself grounded, and then I use it sometimes with others. Because as adults, we are where we are at in that moment, and we've been on a great journey to get to that point. But we fail to remember some of the things that have happened along the way, and our new normal is not normal to our fourth grade self. This is why at the end of every journey, we need to provide the tools that allow us to ingrain in our own minds what we've learned. Fourth grade is important to me for a very special reason. Mrs. Guybe. Mrs. Guybe was my fourth grade teacher and historically one of my favorites. In 1980, when I was in fourth grade, I had come to school after an epic summer with my brothers and my mom and dad and my friends. We had an unbelievably great summer. We went to a cottage in the Northwoods. We hunted crayfish. We fished. We swam. We played. My best friends and I were all on the same Little League team that summer, the New York Mets. And we turned the first triple play in Little League history. And I was the third baseman. I roller skated with my friends, skateboarded on my blue banana board, and I biked everywhere. My buddies and I spent every day at the city pool watching high schoolers cannonball their lifeguard friends, and I played baseball and kicked the can every night until the streetlights came on. So the idea of going to school that summer was a total drag. A drag until, of course, the first hour of school when we met Mrs. Guybe. Mrs. Guybe walked in right in front of us, and as my romantic memory of the moment tells the story, she stood up there with enthusiasm. She started the first day by telling us that fourth grade was the most important year in elementary school. This was the year that we learned the history of the state of Wisconsin, that we took a field trip to learn about our state, that we would read complicated books, and we'd be challenged in math, and we'd have fun. To this point in my education, all of fourth grade, I had had some pretty traditional teachers. Mrs. Gatsky, my kindergarten teacher. She was warm but strict. Sister Jane, my first grade teacher. She held me after school on my birthday because I refused to write the numbers to 200 because it was my birthday and I thought I deserved a break. Mrs. Kinnear, my second grade teacher, was a brand new teacher, and I think our class tested her pretty well. And my third grade teacher, Mrs. Hummerding, was a 30-year veteran, and we had very little wiggle room in that class. But I loved her. But Mrs. Guybe? Mrs. Guybe declaring on the first day of school that this was important, that we mattered, and that we were going to be challenged but have fun, well, that got my attention. As the year went on, she did some really cool stuff with us. I got in trouble a few times, nothing major, but she did some things that have stuck with me to this day. She made us watch the State of the Union address with Jimmy Carter, and every day we prayed for the American citizens who were being held hostage in Iran. two other quick things. When we were learning about American Indians, she was very passionate about us valuing their place in history. She would tell us about all the things in our lives that were the contributions of the American Indians and their history and how it impacted us. And then she made us wild rice. She told us it was a delicacy and was very expensive, so we couldn't have a lot of it. But we each got to taste the batch she made, and we all savored it. To this day, when I eat wild rice, I can see the green chalkboard, orange carpet, and Mrs. Geib in my mind's eye. The second thing that she did and said to us one day, when one of our smarter kids in the class challenged her, was something important, and it was a learning lesson for all of us. It is why I always think back to fourth grade. When she was challenged, she said that, hey, one day you'll each be successful in your own way, and you'll wish you had learned more and done more when you were in fourth grade. For some really weird reason, her statement stuck with me my whole life. I think about it all the time. I thought about it when I got my first job, when I went to prom, when I graduated from college, and when I got married. And now, 40 years later, I can see and hear her saying it in just about every unique life experience I have. So the other day, when my friend Dean was talking about how his company made a tool that fixed a major part of the Hoover Dam and they restored it to its original working specs from when it was built, I blurted out to him, can you imagine telling your fourth grade self that someday you'll run a company that builds tools that fix some of the most important things on the planet? And then I thought, hey, that's a podcast. So now that you know why fourth grade is important, at least to me, I want to go over the process for you as you live and lead. Remember that there are two very strong qualities of leaders. The first is empathy and the ability to support others where they are in the moment by asking them what you can do to support them. And the second is reflection. The core question being, what did I do well for others today? But so often, we are leading and living and we see people around us make tactical life errors, work errors, personal errors, and we find ourselves on the outside of the other people's journey and we can't seem to fathom, why don't they listen to all of the advice around them? Well, it goes back to, again, when you were in fourth grade. Think of all the advice and directions you've been given in your life. Now think about as a 9-year-old, you were told all types of things by your parents, siblings, and extended family. But did you listen? Probably to the big stuff like don't play with fire, but not often to the little or medium life advice lectures that you were given. Do you remember when you were having wisdom showered upon you as a kid by your parents and they would start directing you or advising you or even yelling at you? And you certainly heard them, but your mind was defending your actions or ideas. You were saying things to yourself that you just don't understand, mom and dad, and how come you can't be like me? No one around here gets me. That's the kind of stuff that was going through your head. We're all stubborn, and we all fake subordinates really well. But in the end, we make our own choices. And often, when faced with authority in our lives, we just politely give them the 1,000-mile stare and go off and do it our way anyways. However, when we fail, we end up having to face those same people again, and then we get to hear it all over. With one exception, they change their stem sentence. When getting advice, too often we hear from others this stem sentence. Now, if I were you, I would do it this way. Blah, 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 blah. Then, when we go off and do it our own way, screw up, and then show back up again, there's a new stem sentence. Well, if you had just done it how I told you, this wouldn't have blah, 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 blah. Nobody likes to fail. And when we do and crawl back for a verbal assault from a I told you so person, we build resentment. So let's flip this and use a process. The process is a reflective exercise that you facilitate at the start of, the midpoint, or the completion of a journey, a project, or in an effort to share the collective wisdom of the experience with the next group. You see, people will listen and respond to their peers and strangers better than they will to their leaders, teachers, and parents. It's not because it's a passive-aggressive thing, but what I've learned is it's as a result of the underlying desire of everyone to learn it for themselves. So here's what you do. You create an archive of the journey, the wins, the losses, the lessons, and you have everyone participate. You keep the information and you have people have a conversation with their past self. I've done this with groups and I love it. I will write prompts on whiteboards or paper and just have people walk over and answer the prompts. Last year, I asked a group of principals to imagine that they could give themselves advice the very first year they were administrators, and it was awesome to watch the collection of wisdom we created. Here are a couple of prompts that I asked the group. What's one book you need to read? A day you'll never forget. In life, do this quicker. One thing you'll never regret doing. Spend less time worrying about this. Don't worry when you hear. Take more time for. And it's not as big of a deal as you think when this happens. It was really reflective. And as the roomful of principals walked backwards from the boards they had written on and saw what they had wrote down on all of the sheets and the boards, it became very clear to them that they had learned a lot over their leadership journey. And in a room full of relative strangers, they had a lot in common. But most importantly, it sparked many of them to deep reflection and even change. We saw over and over people saying they should spend more time with their family, time for themselves. They needed to read Good to Great. You'll never regret leaving early on a Friday once in a while. You're not that important. You did it. Don't worry when you hear a parent say they're getting a lawyer. Take more time to recognize the work of others and celebrate more. That was one of the key themes. Now, all of those sentences were said over and over again by different groups of principals. But here's what I noticed. While the veteran principals in the room were laughing about how they wished they would have known this when they were younger, the younger principals were writing everything down. They were breathing through their mouths, taking it all in. They had feelings validated. They huddled and started talking with each other about what they saw. They began to discuss how they need to be home more, how they need to take care of themselves, and they don't want to regret things like these older principals. Now, I know that the younger principals in that room, or the more less experienced principals in that room at least, had all been told by their, quote, bosses, and in college, all of the things that they were reading. But nobody listens to the advice of authority. They listen to their colleagues and themselves. So here we were creating the conditions for the principals to get permission to do what they needed to do before it was too late, and they began to do it. So how to use this in the classroom, office, or boardroom? Well, students are not always going to take the advice from their teachers, but they will from their peers. So at the end of a lesson, unit, project, or semester, put prompts up around the classroom and have the students write advice to their past selves. It's pretty easy. Use prompts like, what advice do you have for yourself at the beginning of this project? What did you do that worked? What would you never do again? What would you have done differently? What should you have spent more time on? What worries did you have that turned out not to be an actual concern? Then you type it all up and use it. You use it with the students the next month when they have a similar project or activity, or as a reminder for them, and a tool to help them be more proactive in their learning. And most importantly, next year when you have an entirely new crop of students, before you begin the project that you just finished, in the next year, you show them the advice from the future by sharing with them what the last group had suggested. If you're a manager or principal, you do the same thing. At the midpoint or the end of the year, put prompts all around the room in which you meet and ask people questions like, if we started this year over, what would we do different? What are things we need to be quicker to address? We need to spend more time on. We need to spend less time on. If I could do one thing different, I would have. What worked? And describe opportunities where collaboration could have accelerated our success. Now, if I were bringing in new people to an organization, I would have the entire staff answer prompts about the workplace. To be successful here, you need to do what? In order to be engaged, you have to. We value it when others do. One thing I wish I had done when I first started is. Then you have everyone read it and reflect. But your new employees get a graduate degree in how to navigate your organization. And again, you collect and keep all of this so that you can use it over time. Now, and most importantly, use this mindset process when you've just completed something with your team and collect the information about what went well and what needs to be changed, a plus delta, but also some of the major learnings so that when you launch into something in the future, the first thing you do is to review your collective wisdom from the past. Create the norm using your experiences that we're going to call each other out on the learnings from the past if we begin to repeat them. And finally, build off of what did work and our strengths, the we need more of that kind of mindset. Here's the deal. We need to be reflective, celebrate, but capture the work we've done and look at what worked and what didn't work. We all seem to think that even though that didn't work, we still do this odd behavior of Let's just try it again and see what happens. And often we just repeat the same mistake, waste time, and then regret it. And sometimes we find ourselves seeing patterns of errors occurring around us, but we don't know how to correct it. So remember, whenever there is a problem, there isn't a process. Kids in any classroom are more likely to take the advice of their peers seriously. Adults are more likely to hear and act upon their colleagues versus their quote-unquote bosses. And we will listen to ourselves more than anyone. But you as a leader, have to have a process to catalog the life learning and grow from your own life experiences. But we have short-term memories, and we are bound to repeat behaviors, good or bad, if we don't reflect. So ask yourself, what would you have told your fourth grade self? What wouldn't you sweat in the future? What should you pay more attention to? Or what should you take more time to value? And who in your life should you spend more time with? Then go and do it. Leadership is your influence on others. And yet sometimes we forget that the most influence we have is over ourselves. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe what you'd tell your fourth grade self to these prompts. You ready? What did you sweat that you shouldn't have? What did you wait too long to address? What sacrifice is absolutely worth it? What should you have started doing earlier? What life experiences should you take more time to absorb the joy of? That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please share this on your social media platform and rate it. And as always, thank you to that awesome band, the Well Pennies, for their music. So, I had a ton of fun with this episode. As I was preparing it in my kitchen, I was listening to the top 40 songs of 1980, the year I was in fourth grade, for inspiration, and I cranked up Olivia Newton-John's song Magic. It's from the movie Xanadu. And I asked my wife, hey, would you go roller skating with me? She said, no, get out of here. I need to grade papers. Man, I wish I could go back in time and in a time machine and tell fourth grade Megan, you should roller skate with Ted Moore. But here's what I want to leave you with. If you start to live your life reflecting on a conversation with yourself as a fourth grader, here's what happens. You live with a more optimistic mindset, a sense of awe and joy, a kind of no regrets attitude, and a great appreciation for the good problems that you have. You meet people and are impressed. You're impressed with what they do and are not jealous of what they have. You see things for their beauty and the opportunities. You tell people sooner that you love them. You never leave an interaction without making sure to help the other person. You stop and look around when something unique is happening. You want to put yourself second because you learned that the reward is in the service and not in yourself. When you accomplish something or fail, you reflect and learn. So as we leave here, I want to share one thing I would tell fourth grade Teddy. Well, two, actually. First, be nicer to your brothers. And second, when your aunts and uncles want to do stuff with you, do more of it. And don't act all cool when you get to middle school. Play more catch with your Uncle Lee. Ask your Uncle Lloyd to tell you more stories. Listen to the music your Uncle Bruce is playing. Learn from your Uncle Greg. Dance more with Marcia. Eat more chocolates with Susie. Joke more with Val. And value what they teach you. Here's the deal, Ted. You'll never regret cranking Pink Floyd, The Who, or Yes. You'll never regret drinking a beer in sixth grade on the golf course because your uncle said soda's a waste of money. You'll never regret driving fast in Grandma's yellow convertible with the top down with your aunt cranking Rocket Man by Elton John as you're cruising through Milwaukee. Or going to Oshkosh and eating chocolates in the basement of Hughes, having girls at Dairy Queen squirt whipped cream on you and your uncle, or any of the other great life experiences they'll give you. And know they'll be there for you your entire life. The closing song on this was in the top 40 of the summer me and Butch turned that triple play. And my Uncle Bruce told me that there was music and there was noise. This he classifies as music. Take time this week to reflect by talking to your fourth grade self. Introduce a process in your classroom, the boardroom, or office to support the reflection of others and working towards greater success. And live your life with a sense of wonder and awe, like you were in fourth grade. You'll be more appreciative of what you have. You'll see the opportunities and everything that life presents for you. And you'll be more likely to charge into the next storm. Because you'll have learned from the past. And you'll know the fastest way through the dark clouds that always present themselves is by charging directly into them. And chasing the sunshine That's always on the other side.
But people keep repeating that you'll never fall in love when everybody keeps retreating.